What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Go ahead, honey.
Oh, we're jumping right into
yeah,
it?
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and say what we're talking about.
Okay. So today's episode...
Ain't messing around today, because this is probably going to be a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can probably tell by the title today, I am going to slam my husband with questions.
Yes.
So we're going to ask each other questions. The first episode is going, this is going to be a two-parter. So the first part is going to be me asking Asher questions that Christian men might be uncomfortable answering.
Mm-hmm.
And then in part two, he's going to ask me. So yeah. Stay tuned for next week.
Yeah.
That one will
so
be juicy.
So I also want to say why we're making this. So for one, I think this is just going to be a very fun topic and fun episode to talk about.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's going to free a lot of people because Michelle and I are going to be as honest and open and transparent as possible. And these questions, at least the ones I answer Michelle.
You ask me.
That I'm asking Michelle and that she's going to be asking me is a lot of guys like don't like to like... I guess, explain
mm-hmm.
or be honest about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to go through it. Our heart is to, like, she's going to be asking me questions about men. I still hope that this is going to help men as well as women. And when I ask her, I hope it's going to help women as well as men. Let's get into it.
I do want to add a disclaimer that these are personal opinion questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to be very generic about that gender, and like either Asher's going to talk about like things that he's experienced or maybe Christian men that he knows, they're going to be based off of like what he's experienced, or it could just be his opinion, right? Like what he thinks about this topic.
However,
but don't take it to heart and be offended by it.
Yes.
Because that's not what we're trying to do.
Yes.
We're trying to free people and potentially give women in this episode an open mind on what men, Christian men might be struggling with or how they deal with certain things or whatever it may be.
Yeah. And let's say you do disagree with me on something or you disagree with Michelle on something and you get offended or you get tilted or you get angry. Don't look at me. Look at yourself first before you get angry about it. Because if it tilts you or it angers you, it probably has something to do with yourself being insecure in some area.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, again, none of this should anger you, but if it does, probably has something to do with yourself in an insecurity area.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I triggered you.
Mm-hmm.
Now figure out what the insecurity is.
Yeah.
Let's dive into it, honey.
Okay. So my first question is, do men hide and sugarcoat the sin that they're dealing with to gain approval of others?
Oh, man. Yeah. See, these are the questions I was talking about, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, man, I'm going to slam you next episode. I'm so excited.
Honey.
No, these are the questions I was thinking about. This is a very good question.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little side note. Before this, I had questions written down that were not anything like what Asher anticipated them to be. So I had to go through and fix them. And now it sounds like I'm on the right track.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Before it was like, what are you struggling with?
Yeah.
And it's like, what? That's not the episode. We're not talking about personal stuff.
Yeah.
Repeat the question, honey.
Do men hide and sugarcoat the sin that they're dealing with to gain approval of others?
Ooh, man. Absolutely. Yeah, that's without a doubt. I've done it so many times myself. So I think it comes down to maturity as well, and you being honest with yourself. Because if you lie to a believer or someone about the sin you're struggling with, not only are you lying to them, but you're also lying to God, and He knows everything. So, for example, if you know you've been in the faith for a couple years or whatever, and you know this younger believer comes to you and they're like, "Hey, I'm struggling with this and this and this." A lot of people like to take the high road and be like, "Oh, I'm more righteous than this guy because you know I've been in the faith longer." But that's actually not the right way to approach it, because you're actually not going to free that person at all if you say, "Why do you struggle with that? I don't struggle with it." You know, so. For an example, some of my clients struggle with pornography. A lot of men do. Me, I'm not a porn guy. I never really have been. I watched porn for like maybe a year, like from the age of 19 to 20-ish, somewhere around there. And it's because my girlfriend broke up with me and... like, obviously, we were having sex. I was horny. And I was like, let's see what this does. And then once I got into college, I wasn't having sex at all. But I was like, I just don't really care anymore. So I stopped watching it. However, I can see why someone struggles with that. So when a client of mine comes to me and they're like, "Hey, I struggle with porn," the incorrect way to approach it is, just stop watching it. What? Like, that doesn't even make sense, you know? Like, it's simple. I only watched porn for a year. Like, why is it that much of a struggle? Because that's so dishonest, because you know deep down you're struggling with stuff yourself. So when someone is vulnerable and open with you, like, "Dude, I'm struggling with this," it doesn't hurt to say, "Dude, I completely understand. I'm struggling with this myself," so y'all can fight it together. But to answer your question, yeah, I think a lot of men do that because they want to become, or they want to be known as like more righteous, which is not biblical whatsoever. Or they just want to be better, because men fight for status. And unfortunately, in America, in American Christianity in specific, some of us will fight to have that more righteous standard. But that doesn't even make sense. Mm-hmm. If you really think about it, like, none of us are going to be perfect at all. So, yeah. Like, I was just in the Bible study the other night, and I was talking about how I still struggle. Or no, it was in my Discord chat. We were having a talk about homosexuality or something. That's a completely different topic. But then I brought up, well, the homosexual person that's practicing homosexuality that claims to be a believer is no better than me, because I struggle with greediness.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, that person's not better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some men may say, "Oh yeah, they're completely whack." And then they're going to dismantle their own sin because they want to come off as more righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's tons of times, you know, Jesus talks about in the Gospels, tons of stories about what's happened, about how you shouldn't appear more righteous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that answers your question, honey. That's kind of a yes or no question. Yeah. Yes, men do that. I would say no, men don't do that when they are mature.
Mm-hmm.
And they know where freeness actually comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And freeness comes from you being open and vulnerable and honest.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep things in, you're not going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And that goes with any sin.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep your sin in, it's going to lead to destruction. So mm-hmm. I literally just, the video's out. If y'all want to go watch it on my YouTube channel, I go through Romans 1, 18 through 32. What?
18 is what you said.
Oh, I did? Oh. Romans 1, 18 through 32. I guess I did say that a little weird. My mouth's really cold from my protein shake. Anywho, yeah, it literally, Paul explains that man is, you know, living in sin, and God lets us sin because that's a way of him judging us.
Mm-hmm.
And him being, it's basically the wrath of God, because God knows where that leads, which is destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So, or people are like, "Oh, well, just take sin out of the world." It's like, well, God keeps it in the world because it's kind of his way of judging us and his wrath of God, because he knows where that leads.
Yeah.
Hope that answers your question. Did I nail it?
Yeah, that was really good.
Bam.
I totally agree with what you said about like the maturity thing, especially maturity in your relationship with Jesus, right? Like your spiritual walk. Like how much are you actually letting him change you? Because that's something that he'll open up to you if you let him.
Yeah.
You know, just being vulnerable with others and honest.
Yeah, I got a DM the other day and I talked to you about it. The guy, he was talking about marriage, about, hey, we don't really need a legal document to get married, blah, 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 blah. It was a whole story. And the first question I asked him was, well, are you a follower of Jesus? And he said, I would like to believe I am, yes. Mm-hmm. And I said, what does that mean? And he was like, well, I mean, like, I follow Jesus, but I'm not as good as someone like you. And I took a, I replied back and I'm like, no, that's not how this works. Yeah. Dude.
There's not levels.
There's not levels to righteousness.
Yeah.
Once you are saved, you are made righteous.
In the eyes of God.
In the eyes of God.
Yeah.
And the more honest and open and transparent you are with God for him to help you with the sin that you are battling, that's when your freeness comes.
Yeah. You.
So can I be more free than some people?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can be more free than some people. But just because I'm more free than someone doesn't mean that I'm more righteous than that person.
I'll tell you one thing. Justifying your sin is not going to help you get free.
Yeah, not at all.
That is how you lead down a very destructive road.
Yeah.
No, that was a good answer, honey.
Okay.
You ready for the next one?
Yep, I'm ready.
Okay, so when men find a good, godly woman, do you think they pretend to be a certain way to get that woman? In other words, pretend to be equally yoked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I do think men do that, unfortunately. And what I also think is the woman sniffs that out immediately, and they completely throw it away.
Either immediately or eventually.
Yeah. So here's one thing that my audience doesn't know. Besides my first girlfriend that I ever had in high school, Michelle was the first girl I dated about me acting myself with any of the women I've ever dated ever in my life ever. Mm-hmm. And we got married. It was the first girl that I have ever acted myself around.
Mm-hmm.
All the other women I dated before her, I would try and put on a front. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It was like very little things. Like it would be like, let's see. Let me try and find an example. Okay, so like we're taking a walk, and there's a sidewalk, and then there's a road right there. I'm like, oh, I should act like I'm a big man, so I should be on the outside of her, you know, where the street is, to act like I'm protecting her. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not me.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing that to try and impress her.
Yeah.
And it's like there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
Now, it's different for you and I. Like, now that we're married, I mean, did I do that maybe a little bit when we were dating? Maybe without me knowing it. One thing that I did with Michelle that wasn't me, however, I wanted to make it a habit, was always opening her car door. One of my really good friends, Matt, he's been with his wife. They've been together for 10 years, been married for like 2 years, I think, and she has yet to open her car door.
Even when she's driving.
Exactly. Yeah. Even when she's driving.
He's there,
Yeah. And and Tino does the same thing whenever he dates girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because Caden does that now with your mom.
Yeah, because he saw you do it.
Yeah, because he saw me do it. And I'm not saying stuff like that. Like, that's something where you're trying to get in habit of and, you know, trying to just show loyalty to your woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, like, put on a front.
Don't start doing something that you won't continue to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That part right there.
That's happened to me so many times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for the sidewalk thing,
mm-hmm.
I may have done that once. Next time, shoot, I forgot I did it.
Yeah.
And then she catches up on that.
Yeah.
Right? Or for example, I don't know, like, acting goofy one time and then not acting goofy the next time. Mm-hmm. Or here's a great example. She says a joke and you laugh. Say it was really funny when it really wasn't that funny.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me a lot. I mean, like, Michelle's by far the funniest girl I've dated.
What?
And been with.
Really?
Oh, yeah, by far.
Wow.
And I will be honest. I have fake laughed more with my ex-girlfriends than I've laughed truly with you.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. The girls I dated in the past were not funny at all.
Yeah.
I would just laugh because I'm like, wait, I want them to like me.
Yeah.
You know, like I want the validation.
You
and
know
like,
what's funny is if I say something that you don't think is funny, you literally tell me.
Yeah.
You're yeah. like, yeah, no, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
To
and
you.
She, yeah. Yeah, I was showing her a meme this morning, and it's about a guy saying, like, does anyone want a pot of coffee? I just made a pot of coffee. And it's a meme. Y'all have probably seen it. And Michelle's like, yeah, that was stupid. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll just go cry now.
I said, did I burst your bubble? You said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was, I thought
sorry,
it was,
I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny. But anywho, yeah, I've told these other girls I've dated in the past, oh my goodness, that's so funny. And like in my head, I'm like, that was so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I'm doing this. And it's because I didn't think I could get anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So of course I would, you know, try and fit whatever they're trying to go for just to get yeah. validation from them. Just sad. But yeah, a lot of men do it. And I'll be the first one to tell you guys, quit doing that crap. It's going to yeah. lead you nowhere. Because if you start acting a way that's not actually you, you're going to have to keep that up.
Yeah.
Forever. If yeah. you actually want to marry this girl. And that is so draining. Like, imagine you having to try and be a different person your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Until you die. Like, you're going to miss out on God's promise for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a completely different person.
Yeah.
Like, imagine how sad that would be. It would be very hard for Michelle and I to be married if I couldn't make YouTube videos
mm-hmm.
or I couldn't watch golf videos in front of her, couldn't watch Outdoor Boys videos in front of her, couldn't watch video games in front of her.
Or if you couldn't go golfing.
Yeah, or couldn't go golfing. Like, I don't, would I be fine if I didn't have YouTube? Yeah, I would be fine. But I don't know where my mental health would be, my mental state would be.
If you had to pretend.
If I had to pretend, yeah, I don't watch video games on YouTube. What the mm-hmm. heck? No, I was just watching Twitch last night and she was in the bedroom with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, because this new game came out and I wanted to see what it was all about. And, you know, I, just to be honest, with girls I've dated in the past, I would be embarrassed to be like, yeah, I play video games. I didn't want them to think I was a nerd or throwing my life away.
Yeah.
With Michelle, I'm like, yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. I'm over here like, yeah, honey, it's Thursday morning. Yeah, I'm going to play video games.
Yeah.
And I'm not embarrassed to say it either. All right. That answer your question?
Well, yeah, you answered part of it. So what okay. about like the unequally yoked part? So
oh.
do you think that was really good?
Yeah.
And I it was a really good point. Mm-hmm. But also let's talk about just men of God, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do you think that they pretend to be equally yoked with a woman? Let's say she's outwardly practicing a lot of Christian things. So like she reads her Bible every morning, she goes to church every Sunday and Wednesday, she's in a women's group, like it's very obvious from the fruit in her life and the actions that she's doing that she is like fully devoted to the Lord. Do you think sometimes men will pretend that they're doing the same things to show that they're like equally yoked?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I would like to say yes. I do think men do that.
Okay.
However, I didn't do that with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess that kind of goes back on my first point. If you really want a woman,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to go out of your way to try and like fit their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know this girl serves,
mm-hmm.
then you're probably going to be like, hey, you want to go serve?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, dude, you're not called to go serve food for the children ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to go do something just to try and marry this woman.
Yeah.
Like yeah. that's okay. If you're not called to go serve and pass out food on this Sunday, don't do it. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, like, that's, you don't have to get guilt tripped because the church is saying, we're serving at this project at this time.
Right.
You don't have to be guilted. If you're not called to do that, mm-hmm. don't do it.
Yeah.
You know? Feeding the homeless is a lot more than you applying for something with your church and going out and feeding the homeless. It's a lot more to, I mean, the amount of times I've given homeless people money at gas stations or bought them food inside because they need it. Remember that time in Houston where that guy needed a hotel?
Yeah.
And I gave him money to go buy a hotel?
Yeah.
That's feeding the homeless.
Yeah.
It wasn't, yeah. I mean, he got a free breakfast and he got a place to stay, you know? So there's a lot more to do than just applying for your church to go do that. But yeah, that's a slippery slope. I mean, you're just going to be miserable.
It's almost like coming off as they're like super righteous just yeah. to impress.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just about to say that. Yeah, exactly. You know what she's really going to like is if you come across and say, hey, I'm not really a big server. I don't really feel like that's what I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would love to take you out and do something related with Jesus. So mm-hmm. it's something we can both do.
Yeah.
She would take that and run. I will guarantee you,
mm-hmm.
because you are so honest with her
mm-hmm.
and transparent. She will know where your heart's at
yeah.
when you say that. If you, yeah. if she is like, yeah, I'm serving. You're like, oh, bet. Yeah. I love serving. Let's do it. And you come off as, you know, you saying you do it all the time and whatnot. And in the back of her head, she's like, wait, you don't even have a name tag. What do you yeah. mean you do this all the time?
Yeah.
You know, did that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I feel for the guys who try and just, I guess, put their needs and, like, God's call in their life aside just to try and get with a girl or take them out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, girls, be cautious about that.
Yeah.
Your discernment should be high.
Yes.
When a guy's like, oh, I do this all the time. Be careful.
Yeah.
Especially with the audience that is watching us,
mm-hmm.
the likelihood of a 21-year-old serving their community a lot, very slim.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely
Michelle,
possible.
Michelle and I love Jesus. We love our church. Michelle and I do nothing with our church.
Mm-hmm. Except tithe.
Except tithe. We don't go on mission trips. We don't serve. We don't, we're not part of the welcome group. We don't hold the door open for people as
we go to Bible
study. We go to Bible study at the church, but when it comes to serving and stuff like that, nope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our life group, we're probably going to do something just us six.
Yeah.
Because we just want to.
Yeah.
But we don't have to do it through the church.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I would just, if a guy comes to you and he's like, oh, yeah, I love to serve. I do it all the time. Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You may just be trying to get in your pants. All right.
Next wow, one. Here we go.
I'm being real. I yeah. mean, seriously.
I think it is really easy to determine where someone's heart is by having conversations with them. And especially like fruit in their life too, you know, like you'll be able to tell if they're truly a believer
yeah.
and if they're truly reading their Bible and following the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty obvious. Just have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it takes one conversation.
Yeah.
And also it takes one conversation to be like, what's your favorite Bible verse? If they hit you with John 3:16, or Jeremiah 29:11,
yeah.
or Isaiah 60,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's tatted on just about every man's body
yeah.
in America. So if they do say John 3:16, say, okay, explain it to me. Because
mm-hmm.
everyone has a story with their verse if they're
that's
truly...
the thing. Like, it's okay if those are your favorite verses,
yeah.
but usually there's a reason why it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your dad loves the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It mm-hmm. hits him and literally makes him cry every time he talks about it.
Uh-huh.
That's a well-known part of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he were to tell someone that, they might be like, oh, that's like so basic, but it just hits him so hard. And he has, there's way more meaning behind it than the
average
person.
Even our verses are pretty, yours is Romans 8:28. Mm-hmm. Mine's Romans 8:31. And it's like, they're pretty common, but they both play a very significant role in our life.
Yeah.
And on top of that, let me say one more thing. The verses that Michelle and I have are not taken out of context.
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
I actually explained that in the very first episode I filmed for this podcast, because that one, a lot of people were like, oh yeah, God's just going to turn everything around and make my life awesome. Yep. That is not what Romans 8:28 means. He's going to use it for his good and his glory, which is what he's done in both of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So next one.
Yep.
Are men afraid of seeking help from others because of pride?
I would say that, again, that kind of comes with humility. So do I think that men, like, don't reach out? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If they're afraid of seeking help.
Yeah. So I think they are. And obviously, you know, it's attached with pride and being like, oh, I'm more self-righteous, I don't need this, blah, blah, blah.
Or like, I can handle it myself.
Yeah, I can handle it myself. Yeah, I think that happens a lot, which is really unfortunate. I mean, I would be lying if I said I haven't struggled with this. Because early on my walk, I didn't really know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, when I got saved, I thought I was good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought I was perfect. And then, like, a month goes by, and I'm like, oh, I'm a mess. But the first month, I had a lot of pride attached to me, because I'm like, oh, I'm better than you. I'm a follower,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't know if you're following, you mm-hmm. know? And so then when you do hit a block, you're like, wait, but I don't want to come off as like, I'm struggling though, because like, I'm a believer,
mm-hmm.
so I should be fine.
Yeah.
But it's actually, well, it's not really what the Bible teaches. And I also want to say one more thing is the church does a terrible job at this, like horrible. And not so much in our generation. I'm talking like when we were born 25, 30 years ago, like our parents' generation. The church did such a bad job of saying, once you're saved, your life's perfect. And you're not going to struggle with anything. And now I kind of feel like we're in a stage right now with the church being like, yeah, you're going to follow Jesus, and also you're still going to struggle with a lot of stuff, and that's why you have Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And also something that's getting pushed a lot is community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really freeing seeing a lot of churches and even, you know, people reaching out to us being like, hey, I'm in a community. We're all very open and vulnerable with each other. We're struggling with this, but we just want to get your thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dang, I wish I would have had that when I was... when I just got saved, because I was struggling with a lot of stuff. I just didn't have the humility to like be like, dude, I'm sucking eggs. I don't know what to do. Now I have a lot of people in my life where I can bring anything to, but yeah, I think a lot of that comes with status too, how some guys just don't want to drop everything because we think that the person we're telling is going to judge us for it.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you truly know God, not know him, but you know him, you know that even if that person does judge you for your sin,
mm-hmm.
who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because let's say you go to someone, hey, man, I have a porn addiction. That guy goes, what the heck? That's stupid. Just don't watch porn. See you later. Don't be friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because in essence, he's saying, you struggle with that. I'm perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Just get over it.
Yeah.
That's in essence what he's saying. So, that guy's not Jesus, for one, and two, he probably has more struggles than you.
Yeah.
If he's saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's just not talking about him.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. the people who accept you for where you're at and are, like, wanting to help you. Those are the people who are more free than the people who keep it in and that don't want to talk about anything.
Yeah.
Which is really sad, but the people who say, yeah, I'm good, and keep it in, those are the people who struggle the most. And those mm-hmm. are the people who don't want to go to other people with help, mm-hmm. for help. And it sucks. Yeah. Because now me being on the other side, because mm-hmm. I used to keep it in.
Mm-hmm.
And now me being on the other side and you being on the other side, honey, you and I can spot it immediately.
Yeah.
Like, literally, we can spot it within, like, the first 2 minutes of talking to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're keeping it in. Yeah. Which is really unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Because maybe I'll say something vulnerable, she'll say something vulnerable, and they'll be like, what the heck? And immediately, it's like a trigger for Michelle and I. We're like, oh, yeah, dang. Yeah. They're still in chains.
Yeah.
They're believers.
Yeah.
They're in chains.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate. But, yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for those men. I truly do. Mm-hmm. Like, it, man, go to your best friend and say, you know, you have an addiction to whatever. Here's something that my dad struggled with was alcohol. He never wanted to admit to my mom or us that he was an alcoholic, so mm-hmm. he would hide it from us. It's the same thing with sin.
Mm-hmm.
Him hiding the alcohol didn't get him any better. Mm-hmm. It actually got him worse.
Yeah.
In the same way, if you have a secret sin of you being greedy or angry or something, you hiding it, it's not going to make you better. It's going to make you substantially worse. It's better to talk to someone about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to Michelle about everything I struggle with, and it's gotten me substantially better. I've talked to our life group about everything.
Yeah.
We just had a conversation. There was, Matt was outside cooking burgers, and us five were inside the kitchen, and I gave them the whole spill about what I'm struggling with, like in my job, mentally, stuff like that. And they were very accepting and open about it.
And they just listened.
Yeah, and they just listened.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a, oh, just don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, just get over it. It was, dang. Yeah. Maddie opened up. She was like, yeah, you know what? Actually, I struggle with this.
Yeah.
It, like, we, like, went around the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was awesome.
It's really important to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they are afraid of seeking help, mainly for pride, but also maybe because of what the other person might say.
Yeah.
So this is just kind of like to piggyback on that. How do you think guys can create a safe place for each other? Because I think it's really easy for girls to be vulnerable just because of our nature. We're just very emotional, and we're just willing to just, most of us are willing to just open up.
Mm-hmm.
I tell, every time I have a sales call, I open up about how I started on my fitness journey.
Yeah.
And I just think it's just easier for us. So, like, what's some advice that you could give just to help guys create that safe space for their friends?
Yeah.
To be able to open up. Maybe they have a guy in their friend group or in their life group that is hiding a bunch of stuff and just never talks and feels uncomfortable. Like, how can they create that safe space?
Yeah. To create the safe space, you need to be the first one to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And if the guy doesn't open up back to you, so be it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't force someone to be open. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I've been trying to work on with my mom is for her to be more open with me about some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll openly tell her, Mom, I'm sucking in this area. Like, I need Jesus for this. I'm not doing well. And she's always there for me, very supportive. And, you know, whether she wants to open up to me or not about things she struggles with, I mean, that's up to her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, moms and dads, y'all's moms and dads still struggle with stuff.
Yeah.
It's their first time living too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may be older, but it's their first time on this earth, and it's going to be the last, because I'm sorry, reincarnation ain't a thing.
Yeah.
What I was saying is if you're the first one to be vulnerable, and then that other person's not vulnerable, well, that's unfortunate. You can't force someone to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say, is be the first person to make that safe place. Because, mm-hmm. for example, going back on when we were in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know how we got on the topic about, you know, my job and me going through stuff. But if I wouldn't have done that, Maddie wouldn't have been like, yeah, because she's an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, I go through this and this, and it's just really tough. And then that conversation wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet she felt a lot more free after telling all of us that, you know, I felt a lot more free.
You opened the door for everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. You can't just be like, hey, tell me your deepest, darkest secret.
Yeah.
That's not going to work, man.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
You're helping a lot of people.
Just out here living for the Lord.
I love it when you say that.
It's a Theo Von thing.
Yeah.
Whenever Theo gets asked, mm-hmm. What's up, Theo? Oh, nothing much, man. Just out here living for the Lord.
Yeah. In his little accent.
Yeah.
All right.
No. He says out here looking for the Lord or searching for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it when people say that because it's like.
Well, no, because
he's right there.
No, because he's expecting people to say the Lord ain't lost.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what he's expecting yeah. people to say.
Yeah.
He's always in character.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Ready?
Yeah.
Do men struggle with holding on to their money and not tithing or spending it on others?
Ooh, that's a good one. Do men struggle with, I think that's actually like a, I think that's both like men and women struggle with, honestly. I would say like spending money on other people, I would say that men struggle with more on that, but tithing, I think can go either way. But to answer your question, I think men struggle with that. And I struggle with that a lot. I remember there was a month. It was like, I think it was a month before you and I started talking, where I tithed a lot of money and my business did better than I would have if I wouldn't have tithed, if that makes sense. So like God made up for the tithe that I made and then added thousands of dollars in my bank account. Now this is what I'm not saying.
We're not prosperity.
I'm not saying, guys, give to the church because God's going to bless you.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
However, this was a part of my life where, okay, this is something I am going to say as well because this is biblical. Giving money and tithing is one area where you can test God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to have an open heart to it.
Yeah.
Because he will always show you something through it.
Yeah.
Now, me saying this is something where you can test God, I'm not saying when you test him in this area, he's going to give you, let's say you tithe $2,000, he's going to give you $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying there can be something radically that happens in your life. If you tithe with faith,
mm-hmm.
if you say...
And you truly mean it. You're not just doing it to get something.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So this was a part in my life where I was like, I don't want this money.
Mm-hmm.
I want this to go to the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
I literally don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Make me broke. Take all my money. Take my business. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Show me what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord blessed me, you know, gave me a bunch of money back. And the reason why it was so significant is because I wouldn't have been able to pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was, Ian can attest to the story. This was at the part of my business where I was like, dude, I think you may need to spot me.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian was like, I got you. You're just going to have to pay me back. And Ian said that to me before, too, in the past. You know, we were always on the same page about that. We weren't going to let each other give up or fail or whatever. But I wasn't using that as a, oh, I know Ian's going to get me, you know, if I don't make the money. But God did something really, really cool in my life, gave me a lot of money, and I was able to pay my bills, and it was like that little part was like I wasn't expecting money in return.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a confirmation from God that he's real.
Mm-hmm.
Because, honey, I had people DMing me saying, can I buy your coaching?
Mm.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I would get on phone calls with these people. I felt like I needed to reach out to you. God told me to take your application.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can say whatever you want, but sometimes it gets to a point where it's like, yeah, I don't really know if you can call that a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
If you get 8 sales calls in 2 weeks and all of them say, God told me to do this
mm-hmm.
in the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So do I think men struggle with it? Yeah. And I think they struggle with it because they don't believe that the Lord's actually the provider,
hmm.
which is unfortunate because, I mean, every man wants to provide a lot of money for their woman, and this is something that I struggle with every single day with Michelle, is, you know, I'm like, I want to be the sole provider for our family, especially when she has kids. And
we have kids.
Yeah, when we have kids. And if you really look at it biblically, the thing is being the provider of the family doesn't necessarily mean money. Mm-hmm. That can be a part of it. Mm-hmm. But being the provider for the family is just being the best servant in your household, mm-hmm. and being that rock for your wife, mm-hmm. and being there for your kids, mm-hmm. and just overall being the servant that Jesus called us to be. The mm-hmm. the provider is being the best servant.
Yeah.
That's the provider. So it doesn't necessarily have to be tied to money. And also on that point, I want to say one more thing is, let's say you are in the entrepreneurship space, or let's say that you are in the corporate space, whatever, and you're trying to climb the corporate ladder, you're trying to make more money in your entrepreneurship venture, whatever. The whole story, mo money, mo problems, like, because that kind of gets thrown around as like a joke. I've made a lot of money, and I will tell you this right now. If I was making the money I was 2 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to have such a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. I had assistants. I had content calendars. I had 8 to 10 calls a day. On top of that, I had meetings in between. I had to go to the gym at 4:30 a.m. I was making content. I was doing YouTube videos. I was filming for my mentor. Like, I was up at 4:30 a.m., went to bed at like 9:30 p.m., and I was never off my phone or my computer. Mm-hmm. And the money wasn't worth it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying make less money to spend more time with your kids or your wife or whatever. But what I am saying is, if you're trying to make all this money to be the provider for your wife and kids, I think you may need to look at your priorities a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Because, again, provider doesn't always mean money. It can mean a lot of different other things. And if you're just providing money, you're probably not going to serve your wife the way she needs to be served.
Yeah.
Which is very unfair. Or your kids.
Yeah.
You don't want your wife be the sole one to raise your son. Mm-hmm. If you were to raise my son without me being there,
he would be so emotional.
He would be so emotional and soft, and yeah. he wouldn't be a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That's why it's important to have a mom and a dad.
Yeah. And the same thing with a daughter. If she was always around me, mm-hmm. and you were always out working, she would think that she needs to be a man, because mm-hmm. that's all she sees.
She would just have that type of personality.
Yeah. And raising our kids and mm-hmm. our son's going to see how I serve you. Mm-hmm. He's not going to see the money. Yes, he'll see the money I bring home when he gets old enough. Sure. He's not going to realize when he's 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But he's going to see, oh, daddy always opens the car door. Oh, he always brings the groceries in. Oh, wow. He's doing the dishes after dinner while mom's doing whatever. He's going to see all these. He's going to see how much of a servant I actually am to you. And that's going to emulate in the future, for him and his wife. Mm-hmm. That answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was really good. Ready for the next one?
Yep.
All right. Actually, I only have one left.
Okay.
Do men emotionally open up and be vulnerable to women they trust?
Ooh.
Like, is that like a telltale sign that a man is like interested and trusts you?
Okay, I understand the question now. Do men open up to women they trust? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Men don't open up to women they don't trust.
Okay.
So if your man's not opening up to you, he doesn't trust you. Mm. He believes that you are going to use that against him in the future, mm-hmm. or he's gone through trauma, mm-hmm. and someone's done that in the past. Mm-hmm. So it's not saying that he's not never going to trust you.
Yeah.
You just need to give him that space, safe space to trust you. Yeah. So the question may be, if you're a woman, okay, well, how do I make that safe space for him, or how do I make him trust you, or how do I make him trust me? Well, I think that comes with you just asking questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't just go to someone and be like, "Do you trust me?" Mm-hmm. well, you don't really know the person yet, homie. Mm-hmm. You just met him 10 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it took a while for Michelle to trust me. Mm-hmm. Took a while for, I mean, you say I trusted you the minute I met you. Honey, if we're honest, we both didn't trust each other.
Well, there was part of me that was hesitant just because of what I've been through.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Right off the rip, it felt like I could trust you. Yeah. And that's the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah. And it was the same with me. But in the back of my head, there was still trauma. There was still stuff we needed to unpack. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is it's like it may take some time for this guy to trust you in the future. But right now, just continue to ask questions. A guy doesn't have to trust you the first 10 minutes y'all go on y'all's first date to know if he's the one or not mm-hmm. the one.
Yeah.
You know, it can take someone 6 months to trust someone.
Yeah.
It took Michelle. I mean, it probably took Michelle, like, honestly, until I bought the engagement ring, until he was like, okay, this guy's serious. Because a lot of guys in the past have told you that, oh, we're going to get married or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, let's see what happens.
I had two guys even look at rings.
Yeah.
And it was literally just to keep me around.
Yeah. And in the same way, I've had girls tell me, you're the best guy I've ever met. We're going to mm-hmm. be together forever. Mm-hmm. And then Michelle tells me the same thing. And I'm like, okay, well, if you really mean it, I'm going to drop a couple G's on a ring. Hope you mean it.
Fly to Ohio and propose to you. Yeah. So you better be serious.
Yeah. So the trust really wasn't until you and I were at the ring shop together.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, oh, we're actually doing
this. Yeah, because you said, I want to go look when you come visit.
Yeah.
And then I came to visit you. And after we had driven to Dallas to look at where we wanted to live, the next day you were like, we're gonna go to the jewelry store. And mm-hmm. I was like, we're what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's when the trust really happened for me.
Yeah.
Because us going to go look at rings, I already knew you were gonna say yes, but that was like a done deal.
Yeah.
Like you telling me, yeah, I like that one.
And then the girl gave it away that you were gonna go buy it right after I left.
Yeah, I don't know what she was thinking.
So then I was really confirmed that you were gonna buy it.
She said in front of Michelle, so yeah, you're going to come back on Wednesday for our appointment. Thanks, dude. What? Since when do people want to know about their engagements? Yeah. Well, I guess some people do.
Well, you told me a lot of the details. Usually, girls don't want to know anything, but you told me a lot of the details just because of what I've been through.
Yeah, right. And then once she said that, I was so I almost wanted to be like,
you slammed the door when you opened it for me. You were like, because we left, you opened the door for me when we left the jewelry store and you like slammed it and like you got in the car and you looked all angry. And then you were trying to think of a story to tell me. I forget what you told me. I think you said,
I ended up telling you that I was going on Wednesday.
At first you didn't. You said, yeah, I'm coming back in for something else. I forget what
you said. Yeah, and I was like, I can't sell this.
Yeah. And you were like,
this is baloney.
You told me later in that day. You were like, yeah, I'm going back to buy it. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
I was like upset to the point where I was like, I kind of want to go talk to a manager and be like, give me a discount.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
It's okay. You also texted me that day.
Yeah, I did.
And you said, I just got your ring.
Yep,
I did. I still have a screenshot of that text message.
Yep. I didn't even have the ring. I had the diamond. That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I sold her on the, I have the diamond, which was true.
Yes.
You didn't let me show you the diamond, mm-hmm. but I showed you the package. We bought.
No, you showed me the envelope.
The envelope.
Like the folder.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see, I didn't know that you had the diamond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And
until later. And then you told me that
mm-hmm.
this huge baloney story about how it wasn't coming and you were frustrated. And I was like, yeah, it's going to happen in Texas because we were moving in like a month. And then you tricked me and you proposed to me.
Yep.
In the living room. And I literally had the shirt on.
Yeah, you did. Yep. And some shorts.
Yeah.
And
over there ball. No, actually I didn't cry either. I was so shocked.
I was more so. Michelle and I talked about it after our wedding. Michelle and I are more blacked out getting me proposing to her than our wedding day.
Well, because I wasn't prepared for it because I didn't know I was getting engaged. I truthfully like believed everything that you said. Mm-hmm. And I literally told my mom, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to get engaged until after we move. Like, I was telling everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did it in Ohio. Totally took me by surprise. The wedding.
No, your mom knew because I texted her.
Well, she found out like 2 days before.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like a week before that, I was telling my mom. I was like, I don't think he's going to do it because you were coming that next weekend. And I was like, yeah, he's coming in next weekend, like giving her all the details. And I said, I don't think he's going to propose to me. He doesn't have the ring. I told her what you told me.
Mm-hmm.
She believed it until she got a text on Wednesday that you were going to do mm-hmm. it. But yeah. The wedding was just easier to prepare for because we knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, you can say I'm weird or wrong, but I really enjoyed proposing. Not more than the wedding, but I really, really much enjoyed that day.
Yeah.
Because it was just such a, it felt like it was like a surprise birthday party for both of us.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Because I was freaking out.
Yeah.
You were in shock.
Yeah.
Your mom,
you played it off so well. Yeah, that's what's crazy.
And your mom literally got us a cake.
Yeah. That, and it said for always.
Yeah. It was just really cool.
Yeah.
It was
really special.
Yeah. It was just a very, very special moment.
And then the sweatshirt.
Yeah. And the sweatshirt.
Future Mrs. Arwine.
Yeah.
Mrs. Arwine.
That was really cool. Yeah.
And then she made you one.
Yep. And they're going to be framed.
Yep. Well, I got to figure out how I can bleach yours. Because it's like gray. It's not even white.
Oh, yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. So, yeah. They will not open up to women that they don't trust.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just a story to go along with it. Yeah. Because Michelle and I trusted each other.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't trust each other.
Yeah.
Until there was this point where it was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is happening.
Yeah.
And that's different for everyone in relationships.
Yeah.
For some people, it takes 2 years.
And I think sometimes it could be like, even if they do trust the woman, it could be one of those things where it's like they're stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with like our relationships with Jesus, right? Like some of us might be stubborn enough to let him prune us and mm-hmm. do that work and admit when we're wrong. So I think that's kind of the same thing. I think some guys hold on to their pride and their ego a little too much to where they won't be vulnerable to women and open up to them, even ones that they're in a relationship with, because they're just not like, but it's like.
You're about to say it. Go ahead.
What?
I know you're about to, go ahead. You're on a heater.
Yeah. I'm just like, well, how would it be if like Jesus never opened up?
Boom.
And was never vulnerable.
You know,
like we're supposed to be like him. He was literally a man. So I don't like the excuse of, oh, I'm a man. I'm not emotional and I don't open up and everything. Like Asher's emotional. Like he only cries about me and Jesus. And me is even like a little, like it's only in certain circumstances.
Yeah.
But he's still like open about his feelings. And like, he'll tell me like today, I got frustrated that I had the wrong questions because I went through and wrote like 7 and they were like off topic. And I was not yelling, but I was like angrily talking out loud, not at him, but like to him, like telling him how I felt. And he right away told me like, I feel like I'm getting yelled at.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to talk about it. But like, if you wouldn't have been vulnerable and said that, you could have walked away, pushed it down. And then I would never know.
Yeah.
And if I did it again, it would happen again where you walk away and you just shut down. And it's like, we're just repeating this vicious cycle, you know, like same goes for women, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I hate that excuse because Jesus was emotional and he was honest and open about his feelings. And I just don't like it how a lot of men will like try to be all big and bad and like won't be vulnerable. Like mm-hmm. I understand if you're with a woman that makes you feel uncomfortable and doesn't provide that safe space, I'm not telling you to be vulnerable with them.
Yeah.
But like your sister, your mom, like a woman that you're telling that you care about and that you want to be with, like why would you not want to be vulnerable with her? You know, like you guys are going to go through so much stuff. And if you can't do it right away, like I pray for your relationship
yeah.
because it's just going to go downhill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, this was supposed to be interviewing you, but that question, like, I thought of that one last because I feel like it's something that I've dealt with even after following Jesus, like talking to guys and like trying to figure out if I want to be with them. And then they wouldn't even open up to me. And I'm like, okay, well, in my opinion, I think I'm creating that safe space for you, but you can't let go of your pride and ego to open up and be emotionally vulnerable with me. So how am I supposed to know if I can trust you?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. that you're going to open up to me in the future.
Yeah.
Like you're exactly. being all this big and bad. And it's like, that's not what I want. Like yeah. I want someone to be honest with me
yeah.
and vulnerable and tell me how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, imagine how that's going to play out in the future. I mean, it's not going to play out well. I'll tell you that. The healthiest relationships are the, because everyone says, oh, communicate, blah, blah, blah. People don't know what that means. People think communication means, hey, honey, I'm going to the store. I'll tell you, but I'll text you when I'm on the way home.
Which is important.
That, sure. Maybe.
Certain things.
Yeah. I mean, like.
Like you wouldn't just leave without telling
me. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. But communication's more than just saying, hey, I'm going to do this at this time. Nah, bro. Communication is something happens. Hey, honey, this really pissed me off.
Yeah.
And this is why it pissed me off.
Yeah.
Maybe next time we should approach it in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you don't, mm-hmm. then you're going to get wrecked, dude.
Yeah.
Have fun.
And how are you going to do that if you're not vulnerable and open about things that you personally yeah. are dealing with? Like, yeah. if you can't handle things that you're struggling with, you're never going to be able to handle things that are struggling in your relationship, mm-hmm. you know? Like, yeah. I mean, we're going through a season right now that, like, you're struggling with stuff and you've been open and honest and vulnerable with me about how you've been feeling. And I'm trying to make you feel better by reassuring you that that's not true and what you're feeling isn't accurate
mm-hmm.
and that I'm here for you and I'm a listening ear mm-hmm. and we wouldn't be able to do that if you wouldn't have opened up,
yeah.
you know? And then like, it just makes our bond even stronger.
Yeah. So what I was saying is people like to say, what's one piece of advice you get for relationships? Communicate everything. I would say be vulnerable with everything,
yeah.
honestly.
Yeah.
Like the communication aspect comes with vulnerability.
I mean, like, if you have an upset stomach, talk about it.
Yeah. yeah, sure. Why not?
Just thought.
Okay.
That's vulnerable.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, sure. If you got to let one rip, sister, go in. If you got to take a dookie, leave the doors open.
I do.
Yeah, she does. Things loud. Like an air horn.
You go, your turn.
Yeah. After you let one. Yeah. And, you know, that's, here you go.
Comfortable.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. That's it for this episode.
Yeah. That was all the questions I have for you. So tune in for next week. Asher's going to slam me with questions. I'm really nervous.
Yep. Yep. I'm ready. See y'all next week. On the tripod.